punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Hope everybody had a wonderful day yesterday and evening. That wind was, it was like a blizzard without snow yesterday. It was fierce. Getting after it. Currently, we have 39 degrees at Eric, 38 degrees at Arnett, 35 degrees at Beaver. Basically, the warmest spot in western Oklahoma right now is Mangum, Oklahoma at 40 degrees. And I'll have your long ranger forecast for you coming up. Got some rain in the forecast for parts of western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. Maybe coming in Saturday evening. Not a big chance, but we'll take whatever we can get. Speaking of that, let's see, where is that? Let me get it up here. There we go. The U.S. Monitor, Drought Monitor, is out. Not a lot of change going on. Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. Looks like Oklahoma and Texas, as far as I can see, Oklahoma and Kansas has probably got some of the worst drought going on in the United States. And I do see that drought continuing to spread eastward across the Ohio River now. So there's some kind of drought going on basically from the Ohio River west to Pacific Ocean. There's some kind of drought going on, period. But it looks like Oklahoma is fully under some sort of drought, whether it's a D1, a lot of D4 showing up right now. Kansas is if not worse, and it's as bad a shape as Oklahoma. Texas is not looking as bad as it did 4 or 5 months ago, but it's got drought going on. But there's a lot of white on there. No drought going on, and mainly in the southern half of the state, except for dead central Texas, and that's where the D4 is going on. So, in other words, it's not looking too good for Oklahoma and parts of Kansas. All right, let's see what's happening. Let's see what kind of chaos came up about last night in the world of agriculture. Soybeans and grains were higher in overnight trading amid a weakening dollar and signs of demand for U.S. supplies. The dollar fell another 0.3% in overnight trading. On Friday, the U.S. currency dropped to its lowest level against a basket of global counterparts, according to data from Bloomberg. A weaker greenback increases purchasing powers for overseas buyers seeking dollar-denominated goods, including agricultural products from the United States. The Department of Ag said on Monday that an unnamed country purchased 110,000 metric tons of soybeans from the U.S. supplies. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators from Nebraska and Minnesota on Tuesday introduced a bill that would expand sales of gasoline blended up with 215% ethanol, or E15. The bill was introduced by Senator Deb Fischer and Senator Amy Glungbohr, however you say that, from Minnesota. The bill, called the Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act, would allow year-round sales of the gasoline with ethanol blends of more than 10%. And in a somewhat unique twist, oil interests are backing this bill. Both those senators was joined by 13 other senators in calling for the passage of the bill. The Renewable Fuels Association said in a statement that the legislation would help lower fuel prices by making E15 available year-round. Specifically, the legislation would harmonize fuel regulations for ethanol-blended fuels across the country, allowing for the year-round sale of E15 in a conventional gasoline markets. RFA said in a statement the legislation would supersede a effort by 8 Midwest state governors to make changes that would assure the availability of E15 sales year-round in their states. Soybean futures for January delivery, jumped 12.25 cents to 14.71¾ cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added 3.50 to 4.11.10 a short ton, while soy oil gained a little over $0.50 to be exact, to 73.54 a pound. Corn for March delivery rose 1.5 cents to 6.71 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery gained 6 cents to 7.87¼ a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City wheat was up 6.5 pennies to 8.93¼. Exports are expected to fall in the coming year, fiscal 2023, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Shipments of agriculture products in the U.S. in 2023 are expected to fall amidst decline in export values of corn, soybean, and wheat. Shipments are forecast at $190 billion in the fiscal year, which started on November 1st, about a month old. That's down 9% from the previous year and below the August outlook of $193.5 billion. Reduction in corn, soybean, and cotton likely will be partially offset by increases of exports of wheat, beef, and poultry. Soybean shipments will fall to 32.8 billion from 33.3 billion. That's also down from the previous 35.2 billion forecast. Corn exports will be worth about $18.5 billion. That's down 5% year over year. Shipments of wheat to overseas buyers are now seen at $8.1 billion, down from $8.32 billion last year, but ahead of the forecast of $7.8 billion. Cotton shipments will total $6 billion compared to $6.22 billion last year, and that's down from the outlook of $7 billion. Exports of grains, including wheat, rice, corn, sorghum, and other fed and fodders. And sorry, Bill Dance, I didn't see any sugar in there, so I apologize for that. I tried to find it, but it wasn't in there. Will total $46.2 billion, and that's down from $48 billion. Shipments of oil seeds and products, including soybean, soy meal, and soy oil, are projected to be at $44.3 billion. That's down from the $45.6 billion last year. Livestock, poultry, and dairy exports are now seen at $41.4 billion, and that's down slightly from last year's at $41.8 billion. Not too bad. Weather around our corn belt and southern plains, cold weather is making its way into the corn belt as extremely low wind chills are expected in parts of western and central Nebraska starting today. Wind chills in the area are forecast as low as 15 degrees below zero. They can keep that up there for all I care. In parts of eastern Nebraska and South Dakota and west central Iowa, winds today will gust from 25 to 35 miles an hour, and wind chills will remain well below zero. Winds will become even stronger with gusts up to 40 miles an hour tomorrow all the way through Saturday. In eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, winds today will hit 35 miles an hour, bringing wind chills down into the single digits this morning. The winds will remain there until from Friday till Saturday as the cold front moves into the region. So anyway, winter is here in full force. Like I said, I'll have a forecast for you guys coming up later in the show. Just check out some of the grain futures right now that's happening, updated at noon. December corn's kind of dropping pretty hard today. I don't know why, probably because somebody I know is probably getting ready to start picking some corn over there western Beckham County, and they heard about it on the market, so they're dropping there to compensate for all that corn he's going to bring to the market. But December corn is 661, March is 665, May is 663. Soybeans right now 468 for January, 1474 for March. Soybean meal December 416.80 a short ton, 417 for January, And soybean oil for December, 75.23. Actually, soybean oil and corn are the only grains in the only thing in the futures right now in the red. So December 75.23, January 72.04. Hard red winter wheat up slightly today at 904 a bushel for December, 898 for March. Oats just hanging in there where they always are, somewhere around 390 for December and 383 for March. And let's see what cotton's in the green today. Finally, it's back. I think it was 80 cents. I was thinking it was 79. But today, March cotton is 80 cents a pound. Also, May cotton is 80 cents a pound. We get back from this break. Got cattle for you. I got to talk a little bit about what happened up there at the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday with the cows and the bulls going on. Looks like it's strong and it's slowly getting stronger again. So anyway, prices might be good here coming up. I guess the Packers are needing some slaughter cattle. So anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The leather smells great, and it feels great when you slide them on. Nothing beats a good pair of boots, so give them for Christmas. The Cherokee has over 7,000 pairs of boots in stock in about 100 different styles. Looking good there is a cinch. In fact, it's Cinch and Ariat. They've got men's and women's Western clothes that carry both brands. They've also got Minnetonka moccasins and beautiful turquoise jewelry. For gifts that'll bring smiles for years, the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, just east of Clinton. Exit 71 off I-40, high atop Boot Hill.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35 micron filter. We run 10 micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10 micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
Filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual AgTech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
He loves talking about farming and ranching.
Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. As you guys all well know, Wednesday is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. And I'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up here shortly. They are the hat sponsor that I'm wearing. If you're watching on Facebook or our website, I got my John Deere green with yellow letters on it that says Taylor Ranch. You can't miss it. Anyway, currently at Butler, 39 degrees, wind chills at 36, humidity's at 43. The winds are out of the southeast at 4 miles an hour with wind gusts all the way up to 6 miles an hour. I'll have your long ranger forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and the northeastern part of the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle, and a little bit of Kansas up there coming up for you in the next segment. We looks like we got a pretty good shot of rain at Butler coming this Saturday night. It's going to be a cold rain, though, 36 degrees, and it's raining, so you know it's going to be cold. All right, let's check out what the futures are happening with on the livestock part. Everything's in the green today. Live cattle for December, 153.10. February, 155.72. April, 159.35. June, 155.52. Feeder cattle for January today, 179.60. March is 182.77. Lean hogs is even, yeah, they're in the green today, too. You never know about the hogs. They're either red or green. December is 82.62. February is 85.52. And April is 91.10. I do want to send out a huge thank you to all the listeners yesterday. I got lots of feedback from having Tiffany Baxter from Backyard Butchery on yesterday. Appreciate it. I even had a late text last night. I guess I don't know if he had a delayed watch or he was listening or didn't want to bother me. But anyway, I appreciate that. She got a lot of phone calls. And so anyway, it was a good deal. It's kind of a unique situation bringing the butcher shop straight to your place. I think it's kind of a cool concept. And wish her the best of success, which it looks like it already is, with her agriculture company that she's got going on. How about that? While I got it here, it looks like oil's up slightly a little bit. It's back in the 80s today, and it's 80.24 for West Texas Intermediate crude. Natural gas is actually below $7 for the first time in a week or so. So it's at 6.93, and looks like the S&P and the Dow are down, but NASDAQ's up a little bit. All right. Well, let's see what happened at Woodward yesterday with cattle. My curiosity is got to me. Looks like he had 713 head there compared to 778 last week, and he only had 522 head there a year ago today. Compared to last week, slaughter cows are $3 to $5 higher, slaughter bulls $5 to $8 higher. Demand was moderate, supply included 10% feeder cattle, 77% slaughter cattle, 13% replacement cattle. Well, let's just check out what was happening there. On the breaker cows, looks like you had almost 60 head there, weighing anywhere from 1245 to 1805. The ones that were averaging 1456 brought anywhere from 81 to 8950. The ones weighing 1561 brought anywhere from $90 to $98 per hundred weight, so that was good. Now on the boner cows, it looks like he had about 140 head there. Their average weights was anywhere from 1,212 pounds to 1,345, and they were bringing anywhere from $65 to $84 per hundred weight. High end was around $81.76 on the average. On the leans, looks like he had, quick calculations, 80, 90 head there, and their average weights was anywhere from 930 pounds to 1172, and they were bringing anywhere from $50 per hundred weight to $73 on the high end. Bulls, he had about 30 head there, and their average weight was 1649 to 2073, and they were bringing anywhere from $75 to $106 on the high end. See if he had some bred cows. Yep, he had some bred cows, all right. On the bred cows, medium and large number ones, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing anywhere from $1,010 up to $1,300 per cow. And then the 5 to 8 year old class, they were bringing anywhere from $975 to $1,560 on the high end. And then we're 5 to 8 year olds. The 8 year olds were bringing $1,000 to $1,085, and their weights was around 1337. On bred cows, medium and large number ones to two. 2 to 4 year olds was they only had one. It brought a little over $1,000, and then there was 7 5 to 8 year olds. Well, what, 1186 on weight brought 880. Must not been too great a shape. Cow calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150 pound to 300 pound calves on them, were bringing 1535. Only had a couple of heads like that, and they were 5 to 8 year olds. On the cow-calf pairs with medium and large number ones with 300-pound or larger calves on them, one head was 2 to 4 year olds, brought 1575, and then a 5 to 8 year old brought 1485. How about that? So anyway, that was what happened yesterday at Woodward. So let me get back to my right page here. All right, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. An excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender is an eating experience so good it can still be remembered years later. Whether you would like to relive the mouthwatering event or experience it for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They work every day to create the tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics and enhance the marbling, ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or whole. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662, and order. It's time you guys started buying your kids and your grandkids. I know you got money. Just go out there and buy them a quarter or half, put in the freezer. And if they don't have a freezer, have the in-laws or the other grandparents buy them a freezer or something, and you'll be remembered forever, just like a great tasting steak. Really, right? I know you're listening. Anyway, we got lots to talk about today. You know, it's been a while since we talked about Packers, the Big Four. That's been an awful quiet subject here lately, but I caught a article that I'll get with you later on the show that's interesting about a couple of grocery stores talking about combining. Now they're talking about how that'll be bad for the cattle producer, but I got that coming up. Meanwhile, at OSU in Roger Mills County, next week, night class. So if you haven't got your deals for your CEUs for your getting your pesticide or for your application, you need to do this. December 6th, that's next Tuesday, from 3 to 9 at the Roger Mills Ag Pavilion at Cheyenne. And then again next Thursday night, December 8th, another 3-hour class. Refreshments will be provided. Please, if you can, RSVP, or if you got any questions, call the Roger Mills OSU Extension Office at 580-497-3339. Or email Danny at danny.cook@okstate.edu. So if you need some more CEUs, better step it up, because I think you have to have a I'm gonna be talking way off base here. I think you have to have 10. I'm positive you do. You got to have 10. So if you're missing some, here's a chance to get either 3 or 6, and it's at night, not during the day when you're working hard. So anyway, like I said, call Danny up there at the Roger Mills OSU Extension Office, 580-497-3339, if you need to get into that, all right? Text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. No matter if you're in Buffalo or if you're in Hollis and got something you want to talk about, just text me. Text me during the show, because after the show, man, Drew gets thousands of Texas during his back road show, so I don't get to see him. So if you got anything to say, we are streaming live on Facebook, on KCOFM.com, our page also, and their page and the website. We are live also on 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward and 96.5 right here, KCO out of Elk City. My boss is on the way. It is Wednesday. The boss is either on his way or on his way back to go pick up the Penny News, which will hit the stands bright and early in the morning. And don't forget to look up the Today and Ag triple page that we have in there. I always think it starts on page 4. But I got the tip of the week in there and all the livestock reports from last week, the ones that happened during the deal. And also, please remember, if you got goats or sheep needing to go to Hobart this Saturday, it is happening. Starts at 10:30 Saturday at the Hobart Stockyards. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hypro. For Hypro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Good afternoon, Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 18th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,785 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 283 brought 272. 5 at 346 brought 252. 10 at 480 brought 202. 13 at 545 brought 184. 5 at 639 brought 177. 8 at 688 brought 155. 5 at 761 brought 172. 13 head of heifers at 321 brought 200. 60 at 465 brought 185. 10 at 490 brought 164. 12 at 541 brought 167. 18 at 561 brought 165. 4 at 640 brought 152. 8 at 890. 96 brought 145. Butcher cows were 40 to 77. Butcher bulls brought 46 to 105.50. Bred cows were 860 to 1650. Pairs brought 1,000 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I'm back. Let's see here. Who gets to be the lucky picker up there at Northwestern Oklahoma? Let's go with Fairview today. How about that for the Long Ranger forecast? Here is your forecast. Currently at Fairview, it's 36 degrees. Wind chills at 32. The winds are out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour with wind gust up to 6. And humidity's 55. 46 for a high today. It's going to have to hurry to get there. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 52, but the wind returns tomorrow. Friday, it's going to be really breezy with winds 23 to 25 miles an hour with gust up to 35 and a high of 71. The winds come in out of the north. Saturday, only a high of 47, almost 30 degrees difference. And then Fairview, you only have a 20% chance of rain Saturday night. And then Sunday, mostly cloudy, high 59. So there's your forecast for Northwestern Oklahoma. How about that? Okay. So like I was telling you earlier before we went to break and we returned to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour to continue it on. It's been a while since I've seen the anything about the Big Four, the Big Four Packers, they call it, and all this stuff. Well, I've seen this deal come out from the Montana Cattlemen's Association, Gil Stockton, who's the president. The proposed merger of Kroger and Albertsons grocery chains cannot but result in fewer market choices or in higher prices for consumers of beef, and therefore decreased competitiveness in the cattle market. Kroger is the second largest supermarket chain in America, and while Albertsons sets at number 4, Walmart is number 1, and Costco is number 3. Together, these four chains sell 45% of the food bought by the American consumer. If this merger goes forward, only three companies will control nearly half of the food market, which of course includes half of the beef. The farm-to-retail spread has not been going in our favor for a long time. Over the last 50 years, the producer share has been cut in half from 71.3% to 36.5%. This is also the time period where the four largest packers went from controlling 26% of the market to almost 85%. Most of the retail spread redistribution resulted in increased profit for the retailers, although the packers have also taken their cut. When Congress rescinded country of origin labeling, the COOL, in 2015, something changed in the market dynamics. We ranchers experienced that change as nearly 50% cut in the price of feeder calves. But retailers also began losing ground to the packers. According to the research from Iowa State University, multi-plant coordination in the U.S. beef packing industry, the packers have developed cattle purchasing that allows them to strategically coordinate the buyer and slaughter of cattle across their multiple plants. This gives them a more efficient procurement capability, but also gives us lower cattle prices. According to Dr. Robert Taylor, Harvest Cattle Slaughter Markets article in 2022 this year, we have lost 83,000 independent feedlots over the past 25 years, with 48,000 of those just in the last 10. Meanwhile, the number of feedlots with a capacity of over 50,000 head have increased from 45 to 77. Independent feeders have disappeared, but the feeding capacity has stayed the same. The operating expenses of a small independent feedlot is essentially the same as that as a large. Cost of calves, feed, labor, management, and finance has to be close to identical over a wide range of feedlot sizes. Differences in economy of scale is identical over, missed the line there, not a convincing explanation for the loss of independent feeders. Dr. Taylor asked that if feeding cattle has been unprofitable over the last 10 years, why is it the only independent feeders go out of business while the large feedlots with close ties to a packer thrive? One possible explanation is that is what's being reported to the USDA is the market value of a fed steer is not a true price paid virtually aligned feedlots are possibly getting an unreported premium on non-disclosed advantages. As to the proposed merger of Kroger and Albertsons, this will not be to the consumer's benefit, but there are other trends going on the retail level that's also problematic. The dominant retailers are developing their own virtually integrated supply chains. Costco has invested into egg and broiler production. Walmart has created a dedicated supply chain for Angus beef called Verified Angus Beef. On the surface, this may be apparent to be an additional market channel, but do cattle producers, or for that matter, consumers actually benefit? As for the Walmart-owned Verified Angus Beef company they got going, that should also be illegal under the Packers and Stockyards Act, which clearly states that a packer cannot favor one buyer over another in the selling of beef. If the packer is owned by the retailer, that is a conflict of interest, therefore a violation. Of course, the Packers and Stockyards Act, along with the other antitrust laws, have been ignored over the last 40 years, which explains the mess that this country's in. And I'll give you an amen there. They've been talking about this for last couple of years, the Packers and Stockyards Act, and Congress been talking out their mouth about adding laws and stuff like that. First, why don't you enforce the ones you got before you add to them? That's the way I feel about it. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but they've been talking all this crap. And as for the Cool Act, I'm on the fence on that one. When they rescinded that, it wasn't working there. I don't know if it's going to work now. We got too many trade agreements with foreign countries, whether it be Brazil, China, Japan, whoever it is. And some of those trade agreements include bringing in beef from other countries. A lot of it's used for fat and stuff like that, but the cuttings that they use for all that stuff that we can't supply here, and we're sending a lot of stuff overseas, and our export on beef looks really good. Are we making any money off of it? Yeah, we gotta be. Somebody's gotta be making money off of it. And of course, you can say the Packers are making the biggest share, but then Packers gotta get the cattle from somewhere to start this process. So, like I said, I'm on the fence on the deal, and probably I'll just keep my mouth shut. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll see how that goes. But I thought that was interesting that a couple of the big boys are wanting to blend together. And keep one thing in mind with Albertsons and Kroger, they own a lot of small grocery chains already under them. Safeway and stuff like that is owned by Kroger's, I believe, or Albertsons, one of the two. They own that. So the bigger gets bigger, the smaller gets smaller. And it's kind of hard on these smaller grocery retailers in these small towns when they got all these deals going on over here at Wally World or at Costco in the city or Amarillo. And then you come back and, you know, you go shopping at your local grocery store. Yeah, the meat is higher there, but their cost is higher to get it to a small town. So anyway, it's just a vicious cycle, I guess. And we'll see what happens with it. Well, when I get back, I'm going to have the Southwestern Oklahoma Hobart Farm and Garden long ranger forecast for you, and we got some things that are trending in the ag world that I'll go over with you. Be right back after this. First, here's Mr. Jerry Nine.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First held this Thursday, December the 1st. We're expecting 3,500 cattle will start the auction 8 a.m. From Lee, got 24 steers and 8, Thomas, 85 bull and heifer calves, 5 to 6. Butler got 250 bull and heifer calves, 4.5 to 6. Laverne got 154 steers, 2 bulls, 6 to 750. Shamrock, Texas, 88 steers and heifers, 6.5. Camargo got 150 steers and heifers, 5 to 6. Granite got 62 steers, 8.5. Freedom, 90 steers and heifers, 7.5. Thomas, we got 368 steers, 8 to 1,000. Moreland, 81 heifers, 7.5. A Mutual, 282 steers and heifers, 5.5 to 7. All those black heifers off that deal make excellent cows. Next week on Thursday, we will have 840 heifers or yearling, weigh 550 pounds to 6, plus 280 on another deal. We'll see you this Thursday, 8 a.m. sharp. On Tuesday, killing cows and bulls, 6 higher. Very good demand, more bred demand all time on them bred cows and them younger open cows to breed. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing, 303-4246.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 28th. 1,344 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 346 brought 246. 6 at 526 brought 200. 25 at 587 brought 186. 7 at 606 brought 169. 59 at 700 brought 178.75. 70 at 786 brought 176.50. 12 at 805 brought 178. 4 head of heifers at 355 brought 184. 18 at 475 brought 185. 4 at 628 brought 168. 10 at 684 brought 161.50. 3 at 720 brought 159. 12 at 770 brought 160.60. 5 at 962 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 90 and a half. Butcher bulls brought 83 to 101. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. Consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle, no matter where it may be. If you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, before I give you your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, I got a text in during the break about, do you not want to know where your beef come from? And yes, I do. I guess I'm looking at it from a different point of view, because I know where my beef comes from. Comes right from Western Oklahoma, right to a local producer or processor. And yes, I know where my beef comes from all the time. My question to most people is yes, it needs to be labeled more than likely, but how many of you people go to the grocery store? And I know farm people, our people that are raised on the farm and the ranch are a little bit different shoppers than the normal people, but you take the average person and somewhere like Oklahoma City, go shopping, goes to the grocery store, don't matter whether it's Safeway, Homeland, Costco, or wherever. How many shoppers, whether male or female, what percentage do you think actually looks at that package and is wants to know where it's made? Honestly, at a grocery store, do they look at their package of rice to see where it come from? Do they look at their beef? I think the majority of people that go to the grocery store shopping in the big cities are looking at the price, not the where it comes from. Am I against cool? No, I'm not against it. It just didn't do anything for us back then, and I don't just see it's going to change anything now. But to answer your question, I know where my beef comes from, right here, Beckham, Greer County. Buy local beef from a local producer, have it processed local, and you don't have to worry about the label. It'll say made in America, maybe. I don't know if it will or not, but you'll at least know where it's from. Okay, off that subject and on to the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I'm checking out with Medicine Park today. How about that? Where'd he go? Yeah, they listen down in that area to the show. It's going to appreciate them doing that. Today, 41. Right now, it's 41. Wind chills at 36 degrees. The winds are out of the east-northeast at Medicine Park, 7 miles per hour, 10 miles an hour wind gust. Isn't that crazy? Three people have read their weather forecast today in western Oklahoma, and the wind direction's out of a different direction at each place. Today, 45 for a high. Tonight, 32. Tomorrow, windy, 48. Friday, get suntan lotion out, 70 degrees, but it is going to be breezy. Winds out of the southwest at 22 to 25 miles an hour with wind gust up to 35. Saturday, 54 high, mostly cloudy. Saturday night, you guys have a 40% chance of rain. Sunday, another 40% chance of rain at 56 degrees for your high. And that's at Medicine Park. Thank you for so much for listening. All right, what do we got going on here? I got this. It's a trend. This is a crazy story. Up in Colorado, at the White River National Forest Lands in northwest Colorado, Colorado and state wildlife officials don't know what it is that's killing dozens of cattle. A rancher in the area first reported the death of about 18 calves early last month, and Colorado Parks and Wildlife investigators initially thought wolves might be responsible. That estimation was significant because the site sets a considerable distance away from North Park, where the state's only confirmed wolf pack lives, meaning that if wolves have killed the calves, Colorado has likely a new and previous unreported pack. By now, the death toll has increased to almost 40 in over a month, and the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Northwest Regent Manager Travis Black told the State Parks and Wildlife Commission here a few weeks ago, over the past few weeks, investigators have found no evidence that wolves are responsible. Now, I'm thinking Bigfoot. I'm not sure, but anyway, I'm just come to mind. I'm thinking Bigfoot. It's perplexing, Black said. We're scratching our heads a little bit. We don't know what exactly has occurred up there. Only as many as five dead cows suffered injuries that might indicate a wolf attack. Missing tails, bite marks on the hocks and flanks and hamstrings. But there's no evidence that the wolves ever returned to their prey, which would be very unusual unless the pack hunters have been spooked and were too afraid to return. Investigators used trail cameras and surveyed the area by flying overhead. Several people have reported hearing howling over the past few years, but those reports have not been confirmed. In one case, the howls likely came from coyotes, and a lab analysis of a hair and scat that might have belonged to a wolf came back inconclusive. We have no evidence that wolves are in the area. That doesn't mean they're not. Sometimes wolves can be difficult to locate. During the investigation, two other possible explanations emerged. Black said, first is a type of bacterial infection. If the cattle were sick, any sort of attack or chase by wolves could have said something about their illness and killed them. Black said, but when experts examine the dead cattle for such an illness, those results come back also inconclusive as well. And the second possibility is that dogs used to protect livestock might have attacked or startled the cattle. For those dogs aren't generally in this area at this time of the year. Despite all the uncertainty, Black told the commission the investigation is not over. In time, more evidence might come to light, offering an explanation as to what killed the cattle. I mean, I'm surprised I hadn't got even a call, because I'm one of the Bigfoot experts for Western Oklahoma down in there in the breaks at Greer County. And I give them my expertise, but man, that's crazy. Something's going on where they can't figure out what's getting it. And so anyway, and another deal that come up last week at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting annual convention, people shopping for electric vehicles will see that most do not have AM radio. And it's not a move that's not setting well with rural farm broadcasters. Nathan Simonton is a commissioner of Federal Communications Commission, FCC, spoke to the broadcasters at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting annual convention. He brought a unique perspective to the topic that's growing up on a farm in Canada. He said AM radio is an indispensable source of information for more than 3 million farmers in the United States. To those who say AM is a dead technology, 75% of farmers listen to the radio 5 days per week. For those who don't know, AM radio is also an essential spine of the emergency alert system. More importantly, farm broadcasters, especially those on AM, are a trusted source of information. He said, forget about oil and gas. These days, trust is the most important commodity out there. I did not know that about electric cars, that they don't, I guess 90-something percent of them don't have AM radio in them. What the heck? Anyway, well, there's a little thing stirring south of the border down here. Remember I reported here a while back on Mexico outlawing GMO corn ban for human consumption in Mexico? Well, it's caused a little ruckus. The Mexican president, Mr. Manuel Lopez, said on Tuesday that he is seeking a deal with Washington after the United States threatened legal action over Mexico's plan to ban genetically modified corn in 2024. After meeting with Mexican officials on Monday, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said Mexico's decree could violate the United States-Mexico-Canada, which we call it the USMCA trade pact. Mr. Lopez looked to assure that the concerns during a regular news conference on Tuesday, saying the ban was focused on genetically modified yellow corn for human consumption. Our position is not closed off, he said. Mexico is one of the biggest buyers of U.S. corn, with American farmers sending about 17 million tons of corn to Mexico annually. U.S. farmers have been particularly concerned about the threat of ban of GMO yellow corn for animal feed. But Mr. Lopez indicated GMO corn for animal feed would continue to be allowed after the decree comes into force, although it remained unclear exactly how that will work and how long that exception might last. We offer to extend the term to 2 years in case yellow corn for livestock feed, and said without expanding on which the extension would start and when it would end. Neither did Lopez specify whether Mexico still planned to reduce overall yellow corn imports by half in 2024, which a top Mexican official told Rutgers last month. Mexico's GMO corn ban has been plagued by confusion over how it will be implemented. Supporters of the ban argue genetically modified corn could contaminate Mexico's native varieties. I don't know about that. I mean, if you're going to ban it for human consumption, but you're going to feed your cattle the same stuff, which people eat, don't make sense to me. But anyway, the Mexico Agriculture Ministry declined to comment. A spokesman for the president did not respond to a request for comment. The United States has called for clarity and warned of severe economic fallout from the ban. Since biotech corn accounts for 90% of Americans' grown corn, blocking any imports using this safe and environmentally friendly technology would not only be a major blow to the Mexican people and the economy, but it will be hard on the American farmers and rural communities, said John Dodgett, chief executive of the National Corn Growers Association, representing the United States farmers. So anyway, hopefully that gets out. We don't need another trade dispute. We got plenty going on right here in the United States without starting more crap everywhere. My music's playing. It's been great. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.